The internet has the power to connect us to people on the other side of the world over common interests and passions, and keep us better connected than ever to friends and family. And for a time, it was its own thing, a quarantine beast off on its own, with its own culture and its own language. But I think we can all agree that now the ubiquitous online world is all around us, from social media icons on restaurant menus and billboards to celebrities making news with a single tweet. Our lives online are no longer a separate entity, but are really just an expansion of our lives, another place where we live in the day-to-day. And while that's a great thing, it also comes with its issues. Namely, the relative anonymity of many online, coupled with the ability to filter, curate, and self-censor to present only one version of ourselves in this digital realm. Well, the results are not always so rosy, or authentic, or safe. It seems like nearly every day there's another headline in which someone has suffered real consequences after an incident online, either fired over an inappropriate tweet, threatened and bullied simply for sharing an opinion, run off of social media entirely, or, as is often the case, scared to the point of being censored by the great what if. I know, because I've experienced it. And the narrative we often use says don't feed the trolls, meaning simply ignore bad behavior. But I offer that that only sends the message that abusive mistreatment is in fact quite normal, and anyone being roughed up should go elsewhere, instead of standing together to end bad behavior. And what message does that send to young people when we don't? The message is that the internet is dangerous, and that bad behavior is normal. And worse, that maybe some simply don't deserve to have a voice at all. I think we all deserve to participate as little or as much online as we choose. And let's face it, history is being written hour by hour in many places, including our online worlds. So if only the loudest and the meanest are left to tell the stories, how will the rest of our voices count? And how dare we leave the writing of histories to the bullies instead of valuing all voices? While a lot of people are doing work to make the online world a better place, let's be clear, it's getting worse. Add in that it's an unprecedented election year, a year in which incivility is perhaps at a totally new high, and it looks even bleaker. But, my friends, I have got hope that we can reverse course and reclaim online spaces to be civilized ones. It might take legislation, education, law enforcement training, and perhaps hardest of all, a cultural shift and a lot of personal responsibility. But I think we can get there. Tonight, that's a topic we're wrestling with. Not just what's going on in the online world, but about how we can make it better. Because online culture is but another aspect of our culture. And at least in my opinion, everyone has the right to use social media with a reasonable expectation of safety. And while everyone does have the right to say anything they please, with right comes responsibility and consequences when we hurt others. I'm Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special on WGN. Tonight's episode, Online Civility, Safety, and Culture.
Live from the biggest small town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout mid-America.
Radio? Well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Time to climb up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart.
This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Guth.
720 WGN, you heard the woman. This is the Saturday Night Special, and I'm Amy Guth. Thanks for spending your time with me this evening. I'm very grateful to you for that. And tonight's show, my friends, it's all about online civility, culture, and safety. We will be talking about our social media platforms, about how we can be smarter about our safety online, about some of the narratives that we use that we really need to re-examine about the way we think and talk about online culture. And we will be taking your calls with questions about issues that you may be having online. So feel free to send those our way, 312-981-7200. We'll have some great guests joining us throughout the program to offer their insights and expertise to the founder of Civility Mozilla Nation, which is an organization working to make the internet a better and more civilized place. She will be joining us by phone. A search engine optimization expert will be joining us in studio to talk about online safety. And the Chicago Tribune's Rex Hupke will join us to talk about online culture and the narratives around it in this unbelievably unusual election year. Esteemed producer Rachel Woodall will be the voice on the other end of the line when you call tonight, 312-981-7200. You can also text us at that line to share your comments throughout the show. And as I said, I want to hear from you about issues you may be having online, questions you have, all that good stuff. We've got a bunch of experts coming in who can help you answer them. So feel free to get in touch. But you know what? You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, all those places, and contribute to the conversation by social media tonight and all week long. So we'll be right back in just a bit to get the conversation underway on 720 WGN. Rufus boy, let me love boy, what you know. Rufus boy, let me love boy, what you know. Rufus boy, let me love boy, what you know. Rufus boy, let me love. Caught up in my taste. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here with you on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday evening with me. Tonight, we're talking all about online culture, safety, civility, all of those things. We talk a lot about how everybody's a big jerk online, and we say things like don't feed the trolls and all that. But you know what? It's going to take all of us standing up and saying, you know what? I'm done with this. We're going to change the tide a bit. We're going to make the internet a little more civilized of a place and a safer place. So joining us now by phone is Andrea Weckerly. She's the founder of an organization called Civilla Nation, which is aiming to make the internet a more civilized place. And she's also the author of Civility in the Digital Age. And the subtitle of that is How Companies and People Can Triumph Over Haters, Trolls, Bullies, and Other Jerks. Welcome to the program, Andrea.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us on a Saturday night. I really appreciate that. So start a bit by telling us a bit about Civilla Nation and the work you do.
So Civilla Nation is a nonprofit charity organization, and our goal is to take a stand against what we call online hostility, harassment, character assassination, and violence. So obviously, really a big mission here. And we were founded several years ago, and we found that the need for Civilla Nation has grown as social media has become more prevalent, as we see more and more incidences of online attacks and hostility. So we're trying to be one of a group of organizations out there really trying to make a difference in the online world. One of the things that differentiates us is whereas some groups, say, focus on particular populations, let's say minors or the GLBT community, we're really trying to take a very broad-based approach, which is to change the online culture and make it more embracing for everybody.
That's really such an excellent mission, because I think a lot of times we get sort of caught up in the, the narratives. We just say like, oh, well, the internet is a mean place. Don't feed the trolls. You know, nothing we can do about it. But I really applaud that you at Civilla Nation are really trying to, in very thoughtful, nuanced, and very smart ways, really, really giving people tools to make the online world a lot more conducive to dialogue. I mean, I think that's the beauty of social media, is that we can engage with people on the other side of the world around topics that we care about. Around, you know, we've seen entire, you know, social movements launched on social media. We've seen major political change happen on social media around the world. And yet, you know, sometimes someone just going on and being friendly can get them completely attacked and worse.
Exactly. We really need to have a global movement that transforms the internet from what it is right now, which is an insidious playground of harassment and hate, to an online culture that embraces radical civility. And Amy, we should start a hashtag about that, radical civility, tonight.
Right.
Let's make it happen. But we really need to make that happen, because a lot of people misunderstand when we talk about civility. They think it means to be nice, to be Miss Goody Two Shoes, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, mm-hmm. and living in some sort of make-believe world. But what we really need is to create an environment where communication enables everybody to have the opportunity to participate in healthy and passionate debate about the issues that they care about some of the really crazy things going on in the world today. That's really what it's about.
Definitely. And, you know, we just saw this play out in a very big way. Right now, if you Google search the word trolls and then click to the Google News view, where you just see the latest headlines, almost every single story from every major news outlet on that topic has to do with Ghostbusters star and Saturday Night Live star Leslie Jones, who really had an unbelievable series of events happen to her. It really just started with some backlash and some just trolling and body shaming about her being in this female remake of Ghostbusters. And it escalated to the point she got off of Twitter. It escalated even more. And just recently, she was hacked and just completely terrorized by people who just want to threaten her, who just want to be, you know, hostile to her. And I wonder if you could comment on that situation in particular, because it's so fresh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, CivilNation stands behind her. I personally stand behind her. What she's going through, what she went through, and what she continues to go through is absolutely horrific. Anybody with an ounce of a moral fiber in their being should be reaching out to her and supporting her and speaking out against what's happening. You know, what's interesting is that now, as you mentioned, there's a lot of media talk about online attacks, using her as an example. And that's unfortunate in a sense, because this type of thing has been going on for several years, but it's usually aimed at people who aren't as well-known or as prominent as she is. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag, the fact that this has been going on against a lot of people, but she's the one that's really raising the issue up now to the forefront in everybody's conscience. But what makes her situation particularly damaging is that not just is she somebody in the public eye, so it's very hard for her to, you know, just disappear. I mean, she is an actor, so for her to go underground, that's not really an option. Her livelihood depends on that. But also the fact she's a target because she's a woman, and because she's a woman of color, and women and people of color in general are predominantly, are even more hit than other people who are maybe part of the power group in society, and that's what's really, really you know, sad about this whole situation. People who might have fewer resources in society or are already more part of a vulnerable group find themselves under attack with less of an ability to fight back.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many instances of that, right? That for women being targeted online, it's often very sexist or sexualizing her or body shaming, things like that. But then often as soon as we see this kind of hostility directed at women of color, it really takes a very racist overtone, sometimes very overtly, sometimes very terrifyingly. I think us being in an election year, a very unprecedented election, even more so. You know, we have a lot of very scary rhetoric going on in the country right now, and I think that sometimes on some level, it gives people a sense of like permission to say very inflammatory things, and I think it's getting worse. Would you agree that we're on a path of it getting worse before it gets better?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think that by virtue of the fact that more and more people are online now and they're engaging in social media, you'd think that is a good thing. And in a lot of ways it is. It allows people to come together, meet their friends, get to know other people in a particular environment. But the problem is, along with that, people feel very disinhibited. And you're right, this election year, I mean, the rhetoric that we see every single day, and I'm not going to quote any of it, feel free to do so yourself, Amy, but what we see right now, it is unprecedented. I have never seen anything this bad, this long, without an absolutely front-to-back public outcry saying this is unacceptable. We don't want this in our political arena. So I think those two things, more people online, them feeling just more comfortable being, can I use a word, the ASS word?
Sure.
Yeah, people being complete assholes online, and seeing some of our politicians acting that way as well, they feel emboldened. They just feel that this is the way to go if it puts you in power, if it gets you ahead.
Right, right. Well, as you know, because you have been part of it, I'm working on a documentary about this topic, and there's so much to it, really. And you've been a part of that and a big supporter and very, very helpful to as I've worked through that and will appear in it. But I wonder, you know, there are so many aspects to this. When we start talking about incivility and hostility online, this spans from snark sort of as the default language all the way to very serious things like, you know, death threats to people getting their, you know, identity fraud, financial, you know, being compromised financially, to people who have actually committed suicide after being, you know, severely threatened online. And then it keeps going into non-consensual porn and revenge porn and, you know, all these very dark areas. In your mind, what is the most dire aspect of online hostility right now?
So you want me to pick one thing? I don't think there's one particular thing. I think there are different severe aspects to it. You mentioned non-consensual pornography. That's a huge thing. That's where people post pictures of somebody in some compromising position, nudity, for example, some sexual act, something private, without the person's consent. And they do that usually for revenge. That is, of course, enormously damaging, because if it gets out, their neighbors, friends, family members see that, and they can really
change their career.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But even something as simple as ganging up on an individual online, and they become depressed, they become suicidal. You know, you hear a lot about children and teens becoming suicidal, and of course, those that are unfortunately successful, they make the news, but it's also adults. You know, it's civil nation. I've talked to a handful of people who were suicidal, mm-hmm. and you basically almost have to talk them off the ledge and say, you know what, you're not alone, and send them a little lifeline saying, you are not alone. Please don't do this, because they feel at wit's end. So it's really become a huge, huge problem, but not a lot of adults talk about it. I can promise you what we see mentioned in the media is only the tip of the iceberg, but it's the bottom of the iceberg under the water. That's what's really going on.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. So in the time that we have left, I know there's a really interesting thing that you do at CivilNation that I want to talk about, because I think if someone is listening and identifying with this and would like support for and has experienced online hostility or abuse or incivility of some kind, I would love for you to explain the CivilNation harassment barometer and what that is and how people can find that.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, in March of this year, we released and presented at South by Southwest Online Harassment Summit our harassment barometer. And the purpose of the study is really to provide a snapshot of online hostility to help gauge whether over time the problem is growing or shrinking. And so by year's end, we're going to have a sample size of over 10,000 people, which will make it the biggest longitudinal study of online harassment in the United States. But what we've released to date is the first version of that. And you can go on our website, civilnation.org. There's a tab called Barometer. Click on that. You can get it for free. And let me just share some highlights with you. You know, one of the things we found really, really interesting was that 40% of victims can, in fact, identify their harassers. A lot of time you think that it's somebody anonymous, but 40% of the time, people do know who it is. Slightly more men than women claim that they are harassed online, which is a little bit of a surprise. But not surprisingly, women are almost 3 times as likely to be sexually harassed online than men. And I know we're short on time, but I just want to share one more thing that goes back to the Leslie Jones story that you were talking about. In the survey, we talked to people of different ethnicities, and Black Americans are the only ones of those surveyed who, among the top 5 responses that they gave in terms of what they were likely to experience or witness, mentioned harassment because of their race or ethnicity. Nobody else mentioned that in the top five complaints they had about the online world. So, you know, what we're seeing with Leslie Jones, what we're seeing with others online, is even backed up by our own survey.
Very, very interesting. Everybody, head to civilnation.org and, like she said, hit that barometer tab. And everybody, please go find this book, Civility in the Digital Age, How Companies and People Can Triumph Over Haters, Trolls, Bullies, and Other Jerks, by our guest, Andrea Weckerly. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, Andrea.
Thanks a lot.
All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and get you to news, and we'll be back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth, and it's the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight. Appreciate you sharing part of your Saturday with us. As I said earlier in the show, tonight we're talking about online culture, civility, harassment, safety, all of those things. Because a lot of times we just say, well, don't feed the trolls. People are mean online, and we let it go at that. But in fact, there's a lot of people doing a lot of work in this area and really thinking a lot about it and doing meaningful work to help the internets be a safer place, a more civilized place, all that. My next guest is no exception. Director of SEO for the Tribune. Well, I'm going to say the company formerly known as the Tribune. We now call it Tronc. That's fine. Carolyn Shelby. Welcome to the program, Carolyn.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier in the show with the founder of Civilination about all the things that Ghostbusters star and Saturday Night Live star Leslie Jones has experienced lately. She's been very, I mean, I'm not going to even use the word trolled because I think this goes far beyond trolling to the
harassment.
Yeah, harassment, abuse, you know, very racist comments that were sent her way to the point that she left Twitter at one point. She came back to Twitter. She, you know, has experienced a massive security breach this week. Mm-hmm. A lot of personal information was leaked online. This is an area where you have quite a bit of expertise about being safe online. And I think sometimes people hear about things like that and just kind of panic and say, this is not a place for me. I don't want to be online. I don't want to deal with this. Or people worry so much they think it can't happen to them. You know, they kind of go into denial about it. What do you kind of think the state of things is? I mean, are people generally being savvy enough I kind of feel like there's smart people on both sides of the law, so it's always going to be a matter of staying on the top of things.
You know, you do need to stay on top of things. If you are in a position where you might be attracting or inviting someone to come after you, you do need to be more careful than other people. Generally speaking, you know, people like my mother, you know, she doesn't do a whole lot on the internet. She gets on Facebook. She comments on people's, you know, oh, your kids are cute, that kind
right.
of stuff. She's not generally going to attract the trolls. There's kids, though. I'm not looking at anyone in particular who might.
Whose son may or may not be in the room right now.
Whose son may or may not be in the room who might go out of their way to try to be a troll because it's a little empowering, I think, when you feel picked on in real life.
Mm.
So you lash out, especially when people. I think the thing that people don't get is people on the internet aren't mean because they're particular people who are mean on the internet. It's because people in general, when they think they can get away with something, do despicable, horrible things. And the only thing that prevents most people from being despicable and horrible in real life, air quotes, is that they have to look someone else in the face.
Yeah, there's accountability attached to it.
Yeah, and when there's no accountability, there you have no idea the depths that people will sink to.
Well, and that's a thing. I mean, I think we talk so much about bad behavior online, and often it stops when people say, yeah, but I have the right to say whatever the hell I want. Indeed, you do. But we stop that conversation short of talking about with right comes responsibility, and there are always consequences to our behavior. And, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem like there are a lot of consequences in that realm.
No, think back to, I mean, maybe you weren't picked on in school, but I was certainly picked on in school. There are kids that will say horrible, awful things, and there was no accountability. There was no, they never got in trouble. Mm-hmm. And that was very frustrating. And I think that's how a lot of people feel out on the internet, that why are these people saying these things to me? Why can't I get them in trouble? Why isn't someone stopping them? And you know, it's like school never ends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing I think the best advice for the majority of people, not the people that are being targeted and specifically harassed, because there's a line. You know, if it's normal, think of it as just grade school bully behavior. Yeah, they have the right to say what they want to say, and you have the right to not listen to them. You have the right mm-hmm. to block them. You have the right to not listen. You know, my mom always said, just don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just jealous. Those, you know, those
things. Yeah, I hear that. But also, I mean, Let's challenge the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, because that's kind of a bunch of bull. In fact, words can hurt you and put you in therapy and ruin your adult life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
You know, I mean, I think people, we've got this narrative around bad behavior that it's just a word, it's nothing. But I think that
hurts people. We tell ourselves that to toughen ourselves up.
Right. We tell ourselves, we tell our kids, mm-hmm. we tell our friends, like, don't worry about it. You don't even know that person. What do you care what they say? Or don't feed the trolls. But I think that, I feel like anyway, that sends a message that the norm is bad behavior, abusive behavior, and uncivilized behavior. And if you can't hang, you can't participate, which that's what gets me.
Well, why do you have to respond to these people?
You don't have to.
And I think responding to them just entices them. Now it's a fight.
Yeah.
You know, if you engage them, now it's a game. You know, if they get ignored, they'll do one of two things. They'll either ramp it up to try to get you to engage, and eventually they'll get bored and they'll move on to another
mm-hmm,
target.
Sure.
Or they'll get so enraged that they'll completely flip out, and people will recognize that they're the crazy psycho that they are. That was how I dealt with the people that I used to, I don't even know how to describe this guy. He's in jail right now.
that doesn't narrow it down.
Okay.
He two syllables, sounds like.
used to do infomercials.
Okay.
Wrote a book about medicine, natural medicines.
Where are we going with this?
Anyway, point is.
His last name wouldn't be the same as a famous cartoonist now, would it?
Yes.
Ah, we know who you're talking about now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jennings.
So the point is, I was like, I ran his social media accounts and uh-huh. his blog for a while. So I had to deal with people that were writing these horrible, nasty comments on the blog. And I would very civilly respond to them mm-hmm. as though they asked a civil, serious question. And the more civil I was to them, the more insane, crazy they got.
Yeah.
And it worked for us because there's no way I'm ever going to make them happy, and there's no way I'm ever going to convince them to be nice. So instead, I'm going to keep engaging with them in a civil manner so that they completely freak out, and eventually everyone starts going, they're not right about this guy because this person's clearly a nutbag.
Right, right.
Yeah.
This person's clearly insane.
Right. You know, other than that, you know, what's your other option? Fight back?
Well, I think it's case by case. I mean, people ask me that a lot, given the documentary that I'm working on. A lot of people say, you know, how do I deal with trolls? And I tell them there is no one size fits all. I mean, sometimes, mm-hmm. honestly, if you can't spell my name right, you're not worth a response. You know what I mean? Like if it's something.
Goose.
Just something like, so if you can't spell, if you can't punctuate, I can't deal with you.
I cannot handle people that insult me with poor grammar and poor punctuation.
If you're going to insult me, at least spell my name right and punctuate.
It's like, first of all, that's spelled with a C, not a K. Secondly,
right. All of those things. But sometimes I do feel a responsibility. I mean, my thing is no one else is. Your lack of manners will never dictate my manners. You know what I mean? Like someone could be really super crazy to me, but doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily be rude back ever. But
no, you should never. I don't think you should ever be rude back. I think
ever.
That is, especially if you're a professional or you have a job where the perception of you in public matters to your job.
Absolutely.
You know, there's never, you should never lower yourself to their level.
Absolutely agreed. I think sometimes though I do feel, particularly if something is, and it's again, case by case, but I mean, I get a lot of these, this is a daily mm-hmm. occurrence for me. If it tends to be overtly sexual, sometimes I will inform someone they have broken the law. If in fact they have,
mm-hmm.
if they haven't, I usually let it go. But it just depends on what it is. I mean, it's kind of case by case. But nonetheless, I think we need to get to a point where we can admit that it sucks and it hurts and it doesn't feel good.
It does. I've wept.
Yeah, absolutely. I have too. I've received a text message on this very show from a listener that has made me cry. I'm not ashamed to admit that because it was so disgusting and hurtful.
It
involved Photoshop, pornography, and my headshot. It was bad.
I stopped checking Twitter when I was doing my podcast. I wouldn't do live Twitter checks. I stopped video casting because I was tired of the commentary about my nose and questioning my ethnicity. It's like, okay.
People.
I have a big nose, everyone.
So do I, sister. It's all good.
But yeah, it, I had to stop because it was distracting.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's
the
thing. You can't do your job when you're being... We all have difficult enough jobs.
Yeah. And well, and then when I went home, I was obviously upset, and the reassurance I got at home is, you know, that's not true. You know, you're a good person. You know, who cares what they say? It's like, I know, but it hurts and right. I need to cry.
Yeah. And you have to let that out.
Yeah.
There's a lot to this, people, but I think admitting that it's hurtful, that it's upsetting is important. It's more important than we realize. Cause I think the narrative is like, eh, don't let it bother you.
No, it'll poison you.
It'll absolutely will. Yeah. Yes. And you bottle that up. We're talking with Carolyn Shelby. She is the director of SEO at the Tribune, the company formerly known as the Tribune. We call it Tronc now. But if you have questions, now is a darn good time to call in 312-981-7200. So we got some expertise in the house who can answer those questions for you. We'll be back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight and sharing part of your Saturday evening with us. I'm most grateful to you for that. Tonight, friends, we're talking all about online culture, civility, safety, all those good things. If you have a question, now is a darn good time to call in 312-981-7200 because we have the great expertise of Carolyn Shelby in the house. She is the director of SEO for Tronc, which is the company formerly known as Tribune right here in beautiful Tribune Tower. And she knows a whole lot about this topic, so we're really honored to have her with us. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about kind of trolling culture and how to deal with it and whether or not there's a one-size-fits-all answer to that. But, you know, you said something, Carolyn, that I'm reminded of my very favorite op-ed, and that is, it was in the New York Times, and it was written by a woman who is a Facebook product developer, and it is called Where Anonymity Breeds Contempt. And it's really all about, and she uses mythology. Everybody go Google this. You can still find it. She uses mythology to talk about how when given the, you know, behind the screen of anonymity, we sometimes act in ways that are not quite ourselves. Some people do, and it brings out the worst in us, but sometimes it brings out the very worst, but even parts we don't necessarily use in our day to day. So I would encourage everybody to go check that out because it's a really interesting piece. I will tweet that out as well. You know, but I wonder in the work that you do, Carolyn, you, I'm sure, see a lot of missteps and a lot of shenanigans of various degrees of crazy online. Are there maybe off the top of your head some kind of simple things that you see people overlooking again and again that would be, you know, that people should be doing to protect themselves a little bit better or to have just an easier, more civilized time online when they're using online tools?
I think some of the things that people do too much of is when they post pictures, especially kids, they'll post selfies of themselves at home and there'll be identifiable things in the background. Or they'll post things and maybe not check to see if there's something sitting out that shouldn't be sitting out. Just things that open you up to someone pointing it out, then, you know, photoshopping a little circle around it, and all of a sudden it goes viral. Yeah. And then you and your family are mocked mercilessly. Or you've got, you know, you're checking in places as you get there. Well, I guess this is more for people that might have a trolling problem already. I think if you don't already have a trolling problem, you just need to be conscious of not setting yourself up to be mocked.
Yeah.
It's like walking around, I don't know, with floods on or just
picking your nose in public.
Yeah. Don't do things that would make you an easy target.
Well, and that's kind of the shame of it, right? That we have to shoulder that ourselves instead of.
But don't we shoulder that ourselves in real life?
Yeah, sure we do.
Yeah.
Sure we do. But I feel like the narrative around bad behavior online is always about what we can do to protect ourselves, not how do we eradicate it, which I don't know. I don't know the answer.
You know, and I would say that the reason it is about how can we protect ourselves and not how do we eradicate it is because we can only control ourselves and
right.
we can't control
yeah,
other people.
Of course, yeah.
Because if we could control other people, there'd be a lot fewer people on the internet.
We would be kicking people off left and right. No,
I know.
No, I mean, I kid, but I really do. This keeps me awake at night, that topic, because I really do think in 100 years, we will have been writing our history of right now, hour by hour, on all the various platforms that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry. I think historians will look back and be like, boy, they were a bunch of jerks to each other back in 2016.
It's the Dark Ages.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
really.
We're barbarians.
Really, truly. I mean, we're saying reprehensible things to each other. And where it gets me is when people have, especially for professional use, when people have really valuable information to add. I worked with someone who quite literally had life-saving information at her professional helm, right? Mm-hmm. And she was essentially chased off the internet, quit working on her book, quit writing op-eds, quit writing, quit doing all the things because she was so terrified of these horrible things that were being said to her. I don't blame her. She had a mm-hmm. terrible time. But to me, there, you know, that means only the loudest and the meanest are going to be left to tell the story, to control the narrative, to do all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's unfortunate, and that's not ideal. There's also an interesting story this week about iPhone.
Oh, God. Yeah, I saw that information about that hack. That hack is frightening.
Yeah. Explain it a little for those who maybe have not followed this story.
There was a piece of malware developed, I believe, by an Israeli company that ended up getting purchased by governments in the Middle East. And it's so insidious. What happens is you will receive a text message containing a link, ostensibly about something you're interested in, from someone you don't know. If you were to click on that link, your iPhone would instantly be jailbroken. The people that sent you that text message would be able to turn on your microphone and listen to what you're saying. They'd know where you are. They could read all your emails. They would have full and wow. complete and utter access to your phone without your knowledge.
Wow.
And it was caught because a dissident journalist, I want to say in Saudi Arabia, received a text message about, it said information on torture in prisons or something mm-hmm. along those lines with a link. But because he didn't recognize the sender, he didn't click on it. And then upon further investigation, this is how this piece of malware was discovered. But had he clicked on that, those governments that want that man dead
yeah.
would know exactly what he was saying, who he communicated with, where he was at any given moment, as long as his phone was on him. I mean, he would have been dead.
Yeah, that would be a very serious consequence.
So if you do have an iPhone and you have not yet, you know, downloaded this patch, please, please, please stop what you're doing and go do it this instant.
Right.
Not that everyone is obviously in as much danger as someone who is perhaps a dissident in the Middle East. But, oh my God, it freaks me out. I wouldn't want to take that risk at all.
Sure, sure. I was talking about this story yesterday to somebody who admitted he had not updated his iPhone in perhaps years. And I was like, oh my friend, you got to do this right now.
I would have backed away from him.
I know.
That's like blaspheming in a church. You know, it's just, lightning will strike right now.
Yeah.
You need to get as far away from me as humanly possible.
Yeah, it is really important when you you get that notification that there are updates available, you need to do them. They're very important.
Well, just like with your WordPress blogs, if you run a blog and you don't want to get hacked, you don't want your website hacked by the trolls, you have to keep up with these security patches. There's a reason security patches are issued. You have to do them when they're issued.
You know, one that I see often is people not updating their browser. I think that's one. People ignore that when they say, like, an update's available. You know, people will just kind of, like, keep at or not.
You know, and that developed because Microsoft is constantly, for years, decades, my entire life practically, Microsoft, every time you turn off, Microsoft needs to update. 795
right.
updates. Right. Please wait. And then you can't turn your computer off until it's done updating. I know it's a pain,
yeah.
but you really have to go through and do it. Otherwise, you're leaving yourself open. And then when you do get hacked and your identity's compromised and your bank account is drained and your website's defaced, you have no one to blame. But, well, okay. Technically, you do have other people
yourself.
To blame. However, you failed to lock your door.
Right.
It's like leaving your car unlocked with your purse on the seat and walking away.
Right.
Yes, the criminal is still to blame, but really, you kind of should have hid your purse and locked the door.
Fair enough. Fair enough. My friends, we're always happy to have a visit from Carolyn Shelby. She is the Director of Search Engine Optimization for Trunk, the company formerly known as Tribune, right here in the lovely Tribune Tower. We're always grateful to you for sharing your knowledge. And the best way for people to be in touch or follow up if they have questions, would that be Twitter?
You can Twitter me. I am Seashell, C-S-H-E-L, at Twitter.
Marvelous. And I will be sure and tweet out that link too, so everybody can be in touch with her and share her valuable, valuable knowledge and benefit from it. Thanks for being with us tonight, Carolyn. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and get you to, actually, we're not going to take a break. We're just going to go right to news is what we're going to do, which is, it is seconds away from being 8 o'clock. So let's go there. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It is
live from the biggest small town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout mid-America.
Radio? Well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Time to climb up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart.
This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Guth.
720 WGN, you heard the woman. This is Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special, and I am most grateful to you for spending part of your Saturday evening with me. I know you have many choices, so I'm very thankful that you're spending that time with me. Tonight, my friends, we're talking all about online culture and safety. We've been talking about social media platforms, how we can be smarter about online safety, about how we could possibly dare to dream to change the culture a little bit, because I know snark is sort of the default language of the internet. And of course, we're taking your calls, 312-981-7200, about questions. After 8:30, we're going to be taking lots and lots of your questions about online stuff. Any questions you have about social media and all that, line them up, because we're going to be talking about those after 8:30. But right now, we are joined by our good friend and regular contributor to this show, Rex Hupke from the Chicago Tribune. Welcome to the program, Rex.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Hello. So, you know, we have talked about this topic many, many times of the way people behave online. What makes people act that way? And there's really just so much to it that it's almost kind of difficult to know where to start. But generally, what I think is very interesting about your approach is that you write from the heart. And so as a result, you get some really entertaining responses from readers, some very thoughtful and kind, some really, really threatening, some that I think if their mothers were to read that, they would wash their mouths out with soap. Some of them are so rude and threatening and so, so very mean-spirited. And I over the years, you've posted a lot of it. You share it pretty openly. And one thing I think is really interesting is that the times when you have interacted with readers or written back to someone who's sent you some little bit of haterade,
right.
it's interesting how often it seems to be the case that people will respond and suddenly be a lot more human.
Yeah, I think that people have dissociated because of the primarily electronic way that we're conversing, if you want to call it that. And so they don't, most of the time, I don't believe they realize they're talking to another human being.
Yeah.
For example, I'll get most of the time, I mean, you kind of gauge who you want to respond to and who you don't. And I mean, I'd love to respond to everybody that reaches out, but I can't do that and still actually have time to do anything else in life. So, you know, when I do respond to someone who has been really insulting or really offensive, a lot of times I'll just say, hey, is this how you normally would talk to another person?
Hmm.
And I'll say, you know, and I'll be nice, but I'll just say, look, if you think you're going to get a serious answer from me, if you're coming at me like that, then you're completely wrong. That's not going to happen. I don't think we're going to agree on anything. So, you know, let's just leave it at that. And then I would say 80 to 90% of the time I get a note back and they apologize or at least acknowledge that they were really out of line, mm-hmm. which is what makes me think that, yeah, when they first fire that off, they A, are not expecting a response, and B, are probably not really thinking about this as, you know, they're actually dealing with a person. And imagine too, I mean, it's easy to yell at somebody online, so to speak, yell in quotes,
right.
But to go up to somebody, I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, I'd like to see a lot of these people come up and say a lot of these things to my face. I don't think they would do that. And that's not because I'm some big tough guy. It's just because, you know, it's a high bar to approach a human being of any sort and say these kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a very weird dynamic.
Yeah. To say the least, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, that's what this is. Well, that's kind of what the internet has unleashed for all the good that it's done. It's allowed people to behave in ways they would never normally behave.
Right.
And I mean, I've had people who've been horrible, and I've figured out who they are and kind of done a little digging on who they are. And these are like normal people with, you know, spouses in, you know, sometimes in respectable higher echelon positions in the city. And, you know, and you're like, wow, this you know, clearly this person's family knows nothing about what this person is doing. And it's almost like an alter ego. And so I don't know what it is. I haven't, of course, you know, talked to a psychologist to really figure out the reasons for this kind of just awful behavior and why somebody would need to vent in that way. But, man, it happens a lot, and it happens. It's being done. It's not just being done by people who you would immediately say, "Yeah, that person's a real dirtbag." I mean, it's being done by people, normal, seemingly normal, upstanding people, and that's what's really scary about it, I think.
Yeah, and you know what I think is really valuable to me when in talking to you about this is a lot of times we focus on particular groups. Mostly we talk about women when we talk about people being mistreated online. But there's a really interesting data set at Pew Research Center that breaks it down and has looked at just thousands and thousands of interactions online. And in fact, men are slightly more likely to be harassed online. The difference is that when it happens to women, it's almost immediately sexualizing, or you know, it takes a very different tone. I mean, an analogy that I, or not even an analogy, a thing that I see with my damn eyes that I often point to is if you look at sports journalists on social media, it's really interesting because a lot of times a male sports reporter will say something like, let's just make something up. Let's say so-and-so, you know, Team X is definitely going to win the Super Bowl. People might disagree with him and say, oh, you're an idiot. There's no way they're going to win. But it's about the point he just made and not him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when a woman makes it, a lot of times it's immediately like calling her a slut or something. Like, what in the world does that even mean? Like, that's actually totally nonsensical. But it'll immediately go to, you know, talk about her body or hypothesize about her sex life or something like that. When for men, it's about the point made. But I'm telling you, a man and a woman, a male and female sports reporter could say identical sentences, and that would be the reaction, which I think is so fascinating.
Yeah, I do too. And you're absolutely right about that. And honestly, I hesitate sometimes to gripe about my own various trolls and whatnot, because I am a male, white guy, non-Jewish guy.
Right.
You know, so right there, I'm checking off like, you know, a number of the things that sadly are, you know, are primary attack areas of a lot of the trolls that are out there. And so, yeah, I would never compare my level. The harassment that I receive is nothing like, especially, and I know some female sports reporters, journalists in the area here, others around the country too, who just, it's insane. I mean, and it's despicable. And yeah. I don't, you know, it's one of those things that makes me embarrassed for my gender, because it is, I don't know what a person, a male human being is missing that would make him feel the need to attack a woman on those kinds of grounds,
right,
over anything, much less sports. But yeah, but sports is a hot button. And you know, I just don't know. I wish I had an explanation. I just don't know what it is, because most of the men that I know would never do that, you know, like, and so I don't know where, and I'm not saying I'm perfect or the people I associate with are perfect.
You are. We all know
that. Well, yeah. Well, maybe just a titch. no, but seriously, it's a really, really bizarre thing. And the thing about it that makes me the most angry is that it's not funny, and it's doing tremendous harm. And people overlook that, and people say, oh, just suck it up. You know, they're just joking around. No, that's not right. I mean, I don't put my what I deal with on par with a lot of other people out there. But even for me, just my own personal experiences with this, you get hammered day in and day out, and it wears on you.
Yeah.
Even if you're not responding, even if you're just you're trying to let it roll off your back, that wears on you, and that has an effect on you psychologically, and it is not a good effect. And so you amp that up to people who are getting death threats, rape threats, you know, getting body shamed somehow, you know, or just, you know, obnoxious comments made about their appearance and all these kinds of things. And then, you know, it's awful. It's just really, really awful.
Yeah. I was talking to a journalist the other day and she said, and she's fairly early in her career. And she said, I probably only have about 5 or 6 more years of this left. I don't know if I can deal with all the blowback online. And she's so brilliant at what she does. And I just thought, like, here we have the loudest and the meanest shaping the careers of people who have valuable skills and talents to contribute. And that just struck me so painfully. You touch on something that I think about a lot, and that is this kind of this idea of competitive suffering, right? I think sometimes there's like a one-upmanship to it, like, oh, well, that's nothing, I got this, you know, which is not to say, I mean, we are two white people having this conversation, and I'm the first to point out that, look, when this happens to, you know, to men versus women, it's often more, or when this happens to women versus men, it's often more sexualizing. But when it happens to women of color, it's often fetishizing, and it's racist and very, I mean, I can't imagine, right? I can only see it happening to people that I know and find it disgusting and condemn it. But I think, too, sometimes there is like the way we talk to each other about trolling, I think the only appropriate response when someone confides in you that they've been abused used online is a supportive one. But sometimes you're like, oh, don't worry about it, you don't even know that person, or, oh, that's nothing, you should see what happened to so-and-so. You know, I think that, like, that's not helpful. I think we need to be able to admit that it's hurtful, that it's upsetting, that I mean, by definition, right, abuse is supposed to hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you're right. And I think that, yeah, too many people, a lot, and journalists are the main people I know, and a lot of them do try to brush it off or blow it off and say it's nothing. And I mean, look, everybody's going to react differently. I mean, everybody has individual reaction to whatever, any type of outside force is going to be different. But yeah, I think we're too quick. I did that for a long time, frankly. I said, whatever, who cares, it's just dummies and blah, 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 and stuff, until I suddenly realized, oh, wait, you know what, I'm getting angry, like, more often than I used to. And, you know, you start to realize, oh, wait, that's where that's coming from. I mean, it's these things. And then you have to really start to look for ways to, you know, better process it and deal with it. And so I think that it is important that we recognize. I think that's kind of step one. And one of the things that I think a lot about younger people and kids, little, especially kids and kids in high school, you know, and if we let this keep happening, this is going to be doing immeasurable harm. I mean, it's hard on a mature grown-up to have to deal with this childish nonsense. For a little kid, it's brutal. I mean, because they aren't ready to deal with this, and they can't separate, you know, just somebody being a grump from somebody being serious and hurtful. And yeah, that's what I kind of point to that. And I just feel like it's kind of this big erosion of our culture, and I think that it needs to be recognized for what it is, and it needs to be shamed out of existence, because that's really what it's going to take. Is that this has to become unacceptable. It cannot be, oh man, you should see the wisecracks that I put on this, you know, girl's timeline or whatever. It needs to be like, get to the point where somebody says that and people are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
'Cause that's the way we should be reacting. We should say, what were you, weirdo? Like, why would you do that?
So, yeah, I agree. And I think it's kind of an overwhelming topic, and sometimes it just feels like, well, that's too big, that's the way it is, I don't know what to do. But I disagree. I mean, I choose to be the optimist here, and sometimes I'm Pollyanna to a fault. But I really think that it's going to take person by person, you know, one at a time, we're all going to have to just say, no, absolutely not. But that's what it's going to take to shift the culture, because I do think there's a lot of pieces to this, but the cultural one is going to be the hardest, and it's going to take each of us going, no way, absolutely not, and really kind of just you know, saying no when it happens. And I'd like to point out that while we're having this conversation, we're getting trolled on Twitter. So
excellent,
right? So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I want to talk about how this is changing, and I might guess getting a little bit worse in an election year when discourse is perhaps not at an all-time high. So we'll be right back, and we'll continue this conversation with our good friend Rex Hupke on 720 WGN.
So on the journey.
720 WGN. It's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday evening with me. I'm most grateful to you for that. And I love that song we just had on, Rachel. That's a good one. It's just like a happy little song. And we need the happy because we're talking about a big old heavy topic tonight. And that is, we're talking all about online culture, civility, and safety. Those are biggies, my friends. Such biggies that I'm making a documentary about it. I've been working on that for about almost a year now because there's just so much to it that we are not talking about enough. And so tonight we're talking about it here on the air with some of our favorite people, including Mr. Rex Hupke from Chicago Tribune, a regular contributor to this program. And right before the break, I pointed out, Rex, that as we were sitting there talking about trolling, we were getting trolled on Twitter. But also during the break, a lovely woman called in. She hung up before she gave her name, but she called and she said that she thinks you have a great sense of humor and she loves you and she loves me. So there, it all balances out.
We are loved. Well, and you know what? I will say, I joke around a lot about trolls and the haters and this, that, and the other thing. But to be honest, I hear from wonderful people all the time. So, I mean, the internet is also a conduit for a lot of good things, not only positive reinforcement, but also, you know, just good things in general. I mean, when you look at the way people respond online to some tragedy or, you know, I mean, there's so much good that comes from it. And I do think it's important to remind ourselves of that also when we're wallowing in the swamp, the fever swamps of all the horrible stuff.
Right, in the mud of this mess.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
But you know, but it's hard to, I mean, I made myself create a file of nice things said to me because some days it's so bad. You know, some days there are, I'll be really open about this. Some days there are rape threats and death threats and you're embarrassing yourself by being on the air and you suck and, you know, you should kill yourself. I mean, those are real things I get on the regular. And so sometimes when readers take the time to say something really, or readers, listeners, anybody takes the time to say something sweet, I save it because you need it. You got to revisit that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I value that so much. I don't think people realize maybe how much that can mean to not just to somebody that does the kind of stuff we do where we're sort of out there a lot, but you know, just really to anybody. It's that occasional, hey, nice job, or hey, you know, I really like that. It really goes a long way because everybody to one degree or another is dealing with a certain level of this kind of online negativity. Yeah. It's just, you know, it depends on what you do and stuff. I mean, unless you're just completely unplugged, everybody has some form of exposure to it. And it, you know, it's nice to see something positive come along. So.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. And I think it's changed the way that I use social media. I don't know about you, Rex, but I tend to, if I see somebody who has received a cruddy comment or something that's a personal attack, I will weigh in. I'm much more likely to weigh in now. And it has also made me much more likely to tell companies when I have a really positive customer service experience, because I realize that they probably only hear from people that are irate and angry. So I make a point like, hey, you know what? My server was so fun and kind and lovely. I mean, I'll usually say something to the manager, or I recently got help on Twitter from an airline that really saved me from, like, by the time the person, I mean, not even by the time, I was still on hold with the airline, and by Twitter I had already solved my problem. So I just hung up. You know,
wow, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I let them know that, like, hey, you guys, this was really valuable. I'm really appreciative. This person was really kind. So, yeah, there is so much good that comes from it, too. And that's really what I think why it's worth fighting for, because there's still so much good. And there's so many good people that rally around people when they're, you know, when they're sick or when they have a crisis. And, you know, strangers will come out and do the most amazing things. But sometimes, you know, I worry about people opting out because they can't stand the negativity, which I totally get. But this year is particularly of note because here we are in this unprecedented election that so very contentious, not just between the candidates, but between their supporters. And I see so much, I can't even believe, honestly, I can't even believe some of the things I see online. And I know the popular thing to do is to block or unfriend people who don't agree with you, but we're not talking about disagreement. I'm talking about people that just say, you know, hate speech and you know, racist or something like that kind of rhetoric. That is a whole different level, but I see it so much more. Would you agree with that? Do you think it's getting worse?
I do. Yeah, I think this this election has uncorked some vipers, and that was a bizarre metaphor. Sorry, I'm mixing my
right.
Uncorked. Oh, why were the vipers corked? I don't understand. Sorry. You know, corked vipers, those kinds. They're hard to find. But
you're killing anyway. Me, Hufke.
Sorry. I write for a living. Something hideous has happened. You know? And yes, you're seeing I get it's hard to talk about it without instantly becoming political to some degree or another. But the truth, in my opinion anyway, is that Donald Trump has unleashed and given permission to a lot of people to say things they would not have said prior to him coming along. And that is something that is causing a lot of trouble. Now, there has been problems on the left as well.
Yeah, sure.
Particularly when you were dealing with Bernie Sanders and Hillary. So I do not excuse people on the left. And frankly, the way people on the left in a lot of cases respond to people on the right it goes way out of bounds. And I've been attacked. The people who don't like me will laugh at this, but believe me, I've written things that have made people on the left extremely angry, and they are every bit as wretched as the people on the right. So I do not buy the sort of it's all right wing nut jobs that are yelling at people. That I don't think that's the case. But anyway, what has happened is that because race has become a big part of this election, because sexism has become a big part of this election, because all of these issues have become relevant, then you've got people fighting over it, and you've got people real riled up, and they're saying a lot of things, like I said, that I think previously may have seemed inappropriate, but because the candidate for president has said them, it kind of swings the door open. And, everybody's got their right to free speech, obviously, and I support that till the end, but I don't think people understand the difference between free speech and the fact that speech can have consequences.
Well, and that's where we get caught up. People say, well, I have the right to say what I want. Yeah, you do. But with right comes responsibility. And I think there can't just not be consequences if you're going to run around saying hate speech. You have to be accountable to the things that you say, just as we do if we, get behind the wheel of a car. If we're walking down the street, we are accountable for the things we do, say, and act out in our lives.
Absolutely. And I one of my workplace columns, I said that I would like it personally if companies would start really laying the line down here a little bit in terms of saying, look, if companies are limited in what they can do in terms of, monitoring people and that sort of thing, but they should, if they find an employee who's harassing someone, in serious terms or, being just wholly inappropriate or one way or the other, there should be consequences. And I think that's where else are the consequences going to come from? I guess. I mean, I feel like a lot of the companies out there have a responsibility I'm not saying to be thought police. I'm just saying that, when instances arise where someone is being completely, harassing someone, death threats, these sorts of things, they should intervene because that would put a stop to it. If people think they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to think twice about what they say.
Right, right. And I have known people who have done that very thing. They'll just say, the person tweeting these horrible, disgusting things to me is a professional in the community. And in one instance in particular that I'm aware of, someone said something that was a rape threat and a death threat. And this person who received them printed out the tweets and sent them to this person's company. This person was an executive, sent them to your company and said, hey, is this really the behavior you condone from people representing your company, especially at that level, which I don't think is a problem. I think we should absolutely be accountable to the things we say online.
Absolutely. I would encourage anyone to if not do that, to at least seriously consider it. If it's that serious. I mean, again, if it's somebody being mean to you, well, okay, maybe not. But, if you're getting a rape threat, you're getting a death threat, somebody's forcing you to change how you live your life, or somebody is forcing you offline, basically, with the level of harassment, and where that person which company that person represents or what have you, then let them know. I mean, good grief. That's the only way it stops. It stops with accountability and with consequences. And Without that, these knuckleheads are going to just keep doing this, keep doing it, and keep doing it, and it's just going to get worse and worse.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And, you know, I've said it many times on this program, but when we, especially when we're talking about the election and the dialogue that's not occurring between the two sides, I often think about linguist George Lakoff, who wrote Don't Think of an Elephant, right? And all about this idea of frames, of how we can't communicate with each other, or, you know, with people that have, it's like confirmation bias that's constantly in our heads because we have these frameworks that we deal with in our lives that we kind of position our opinions on in our heads. And when you have opposing framework, you can't even hear each other. You know, it's like the gun debate. One side is talking about safety, another is talking about rights. You're not even having the same conversation. And I think that's so at play this year in an election year, because we're just yelling at each other. We're not trying to, like, hey, let's both step into a place and say, hey, there's definitely a problem. Let's talk about it. We're not going there. We're just trying to outshout each other at this point. So I think it might get a little bit worse before it gets better, to be honest with you.
I do too. Yeah. And it's horrible. And that's one of the things that upsets me, frankly, about the whole thing right now. Is that I would have liked to have seen candidates come along where there was at least the potential for some agreement, a middle ground. But instead we wound up really with two extremely polarizing figures. I mean, whether you can look at Hillary Clinton, whether you think it's just or correct or fair or whatever, but she is, I mean, she's been around in politics for so long, and she is a polarizing figure, more so than Obama, based on the kind of reactions I receive anyway when I write about her. And,
right.
And then, of course, Trump is obviously extremely polarizing, and I'm not trying to create some false equivalence or whatever. I'm just noting that both are it's like touching an electric fence with either.
Oh, yeah.
So,
indeed.
Good luck with that.
Indeed. Well, always good to talk with you, Rex Hupke. We shall talk with you again soon.
Keep your Vipers corked.
That's right. I wrote that down when you said uncork the Vipers. I wrote that down. I think that's what we're going to call the podcast of this show.
Yes, it's going to be my new catchphrase.
All right. Thanks, Rex. Have a good night.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. You didn't know. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. Tonight, my friends, we have been talking all about online civility and safety and all of those good things, because I think we can all agree we have a long way to go to being a little more civil to one another online, especially right now in an election year where we're just kind of yelling things at each other, but no one's talking. So I'm really, really interested in the idea of us all taking personal responsibility for what we create online and the way we talk about it online, the way we talk to others online, and really approach conflict online from a place of how can I find common ground with this person and have a thoughtful discussion instead of just insulting the crap out of each other. Because where does that get us? That gets us nowhere. But somewhere this idea of, like, snark as the default setting became a thing, right? Where if something is new online, or if there's news or something, it's everyone's trying to be clever and sort of outsnark each other instead of saying, this is interesting, or I found this compelling, or this is a complex piece, or whatever. You know, we have to say something kind of snarky and clever about it. And I really, that's become more and more of a pain point to me as time has gone on online. So, of course, 312-981-7200, please give us a call. We're talking all about social media tonight, too. And if you have any thoughts on social media or questions about social media, let's do it. Let's talk about it. I love talking about social media. I want to point out a couple of text messages. I always appreciate your very thoughtful and supportive comments from 219. Great show, Amy. Screw the trolls. Right on. Right on, 219. Thank you. 708. It is my opinion that only 1-1.5% of all the idiots online are actually going to go through with their diabolical plans that they announce. Indeed, that's true. Sometimes when they do, though, there are really dire consequences. I interviewed a couple of women for my documentary who their trolling incidents escalated to online to offline. One of them was attacked, and the person served time for that attack. It was very, very scary. And so, you know, you never know. And I know I have been there. I have experienced this, and you guys know I talk about martial arts a lot on this station and Krav Maga that I do. But nonetheless, like when you're being targeted and threatened with really gross things, it's you want to say, well, there's no way this person probably doesn't even know who I am, doesn't even live in this city. But you know, there's always a part of you because you can't see them because you don't know that it's scary. But I agree with you. I think it's probably the exception, not the rule, that people actually carry out these threats. But they're scary, I think we can agree. Anyway, thank you, 708. I appreciate that. And the 262 area code, nobody has the right to hurt, embarrass, or bully anyone online. It goes on to say that there's, the simple way to address it basically is like, come say it to my face, essentially. But then it goes on to say, to make sure we respect the constitutional right of free speech, that we require every IP address to be assigned to the user with true name and location. You still have freedom of speech, but now you are also accountable. I think that's really interesting. Thank you, 262 area code. I think that is a really interesting point. And I've thought about that one a lot. You know, as a journalist, I agree that we have the right to say whatever we want. I think, you know, public information and freedom of information is a big deal. Free speech is a big deal, of course. And I wonder about that accountability of how we fix that. I don't want it to be too Big Brother, but I don't want it to be, the Wild West either. So I think that's really, really tricky. So there's that.
And there's also the elimination by some newspapers and media organizations, like I believe PBS, that have done away with the comment sections after stories because the trolls from both sides have taken over. So instead of discussing the story, they're discussing other things that aren't necessarily related to the story. And the language is a lot like that of the trolls you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what? I've stopped using the word troll in casual conversation because I think it sort of is assigning a fairy tale word to something that's really quite serious. You know, I mean, I think we need a better word. I think we need, you know, the guest that we had earlier at the top of the show, Andrea Weckerly, the founder of Civilla Nation, she was talking about online hostility and the disinhibited. And I think those are more important and fairly more descriptive terms to use. Some of it,
I don't know. I'd call them uninhibited because clearly there are the normal stops that many of us have before we let the fingers fly, they don't have that.
Typing, right?
Well, yeah, on the keyboard. Let the fingers start roaming over the keyboard producing words that are not kind, are rather hostile, etc. They don't have that filter. It's like brain to fingers. There's nothing like Mama in Mama's Family. It's like the first thing in her head came right out of her mouth.
Well, so here's...
Golden Girls, rather, if you remember the mother.
Yeah, sure, yeah. You know, here's the thing. I wonder about this. I think it's real easy to say that... And I've done it, too, to say, like, refer to someone as like, these idiots, right? I have a personal thing, and some of you are going to think this is super weird and a total waste of time. But again, I am Pollyanna at my core. And I really, it's important to me to try to salvage conversations. I do that at my old job. People used to call me Bomb Squad because I could, if like an angry caller or whatever, if someone, you know, had an issue, they would put me on the phone with them because I could usually reason with people. And I like to think I have that skill. But I wonder... I've made myself try not to say that because here's why. I try to, anytime something horrible is said to me, I try online or anywhere, I say, okay, what if this person was, what if I assumed this is an intelligent person who just has a radically different point of view? What common ground could I establish? It does not always work. And sometimes it's really difficult to think that way. Sometimes I can't find it.